Good morning, everybody. Welcome again to another edition of Church Online. So glad that you could join us. I believe this is week number 15. If you're keeping track on a personal calendar, this is week number 15. It's hard to believe we're almost 4 months into doing online services, but we're so glad that you joined us today, and we welcome you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I heard a statement just recently, and it said this: a lot of people are like ducks. They look cool and calm on the surface, but underneath, they are paddling as fast as they can. One of the greatest stresses that you and I probably go through in life, especially when we fall short or we go through situations and circumstances where we're kind of in an upheaval, when we run out of time, stresses where we run out of energy, where perhaps we are short on money, or you've run out of ideas, or you need specific help in a certain situation, what do you do? What do you do? Today, we're going to look at a very familiar miracle. Last week, we talked about some principles you need to understand in order for God to work in your life when life is beyond your control. Today, we're going to look at another very familiar miracle, and it's found in Mark chapter 6. If you want to turn there within your Bibles or on your smartphone devices or iPads, the feeding of the 5,000, and it gives a very simple formula on what can spark a miracle in your life, especially when you're running short, when things and stresses in your life seem to be overwhelming you and you're running out. This is an incredible story that gives us a very simple formula that can spark a miracle within your life. Look what it says in Mark chapter 6, beginning to read at verse 35. Late in the afternoon, his disciples came to him, that is Jesus, and said, "This is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so that they can go to the nearby farms and villages and buy something to eat." But Jesus said, "You feed them." "With what?" they asked. "We'd have to work for months to earn enough money to buy food for all these people." That's a very interesting dialogue between Jesus and the disciples. And if you've been in church any length of time, and if you've grown up in the church, you certainly have heard variations and have heard many, many stories about the feeding of the 5,000. But Jesus is speaking to us today as well. Not only is he dialoguing with the disciples, but he is speaking to us as well. It's the end of the day. People are tired. There's 5,000 people who were sitting amongst themselves on the hillside listening to Jesus teach. They are now hungry, and there certainly isn't a McDonald's close by. What are you going to do? Now, we would probably do the same things that these disciples did. And essentially, they made three very typical mistakes, common mistakes that also happen to us when we are confronted with a situation where we are running short, we're in short supply, where we need a miracle to happen in our life. The three common mistakes that the disciples made and that we as people sometimes make is this. The first one is we procrastinate. Notice the disciples. It says, the very first thing that they did was they procrastinated. It was late in the afternoon, verse 35 said. They, in other words, put off dealing with this problem. They had seen the problem all day long. There are 5,000 people. Nobody has any food. They see the problem and they did nothing. They stalled, they delayed. And I sometimes wonder, have we ever done that? Do we ever procrastinate when we are confronted with issues and problems and difficulties, where we procrastinate paying a due bill, for example, when our finances are tight? Do we put off making an appointment because we're uncomfortable with what we have to deal with in that appointment? Do you ever find yourself not exercising when your energy is low, for example? When Under pressure, one of the symptoms that governs our lives as people is that we have a tendency to procrastinate. And it's a self-defeating attitude. The second thing the disciples did was they passed the buck. In verse 36, it says, this is what the disciples said. Send the crowds away. They're telling Jesus to send the crowds away. In other words, what the disciples are essentially saying, basically they're saying is, this is not our problem. We did not ask these people to come here. We didn't want them to follow us. Let them eat their food. Let's just get rid of them. This out of mind, out of sight mentality. So how many times would I say to you, how many times have we done the same thing where we ignored the problem when we're running short and pretend that a problem doesn't exist? And a lot of times there's a tendency with us when we're running into difficulty to blame other people for our dilemma. It's everybody else's fault. And you kind of get that same situation here with the disciples. And the third common mistake that they make, as we also make, is this whole aspect of worry. Jesus said to them, you feed them. Their response was, with what? They said, it would take a small fortune for us to buy all of this food and for all of this crowd to be fed properly. That's what verse 37 is talking about. And it's a very common mistake or thing that we make as well as people. The disciples' anxiety went into overdrive. How are we going to transport this food here? How are we going to keep it hot? How are we going to do this? We don't have any money. Who's going to clean up the mess afterwards? It's going to take us days and days to even get a health permit for this picnic. Who's going to cover the insurance and the liability for this event? So the disciples are getting uptight. And yet, in the midst of all of this unique situation, this upheaval that is taking place, this discussion back and forth, the attitudes that the disciples are portraying, Jesus is standing there in the middle of them. Jesus, who could, in an instant, at a snap of his fingers, provide a 7-course meal in an instant. And here's Jesus, who is standing in the midst of them, who could turn stones into bread, and the disciples are worried grocery store is, or where the fast food restaurant is, in order to somehow provide food. So what do you do? What do you do in your life when you are faced with situations in life where you need a miracle, where things are running short, and you are desperate? What do you do? Well, in this encounter, there are 4 life principles. And if you practice them, if we practice them, it can change your life. And here's the first principle. The first principle, knowing that you and I have this propensity to these common mistakes, the first principle we need to engage is we need to accept responsibility. If you want miracles to take place in your life, you need to accept responsibility. Ask yourself, am I living irresponsibly? Irresponsible. Am I living beyond my means? And we certainly cannot blame other people for the dilemmas that we find ourselves in. In fact, if I find myself in a financial tight spot, I probably have put myself into that category because I've overextended my resources beyond my means. Perhaps I overspent or undersaved. There's no one to blame for that particular situation than myself. And I have to accept responsibility for that shortage. The second life principle that we need to engage is this. Secondly, we need to evaluate. We need to evaluate our current status. You have as much time, listen, you have as much time in a week, in a given day, as everybody else. Every single person on this planet, we all get 168 hours a week. But how do you spend the 168 hours that you get? How do you spend it? In your evaluation of how you spend your week, are you assessing your resources during that week? Are you asking yourself, where is my time going? How clogged up is my calendar becoming? You look at your resources and finance and you say, where is my money going? And if you don't know what you're doing with your time or where your money is going, it is going to lead you into trouble. Ignorance about finances is going to be deadly. You need to know what is going on in your life and how you are accessing your resources. In this particular situation, of the 5,000 being fed, Jesus told the disciples. The second thing he said to them was in verse 38. Look what it says in verse 38 of Mark chapter 6. He says, how much bread do you have? Go and find out. And they came back and reported, we have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Now, don't you think Jesus knew that? Being the master of the universe, the creator of everything, don't you think that Jesus knew what was available? And yet he asked the disciples, what or how much bread do you have? Why did he have the disciples go on a search through this group of 5,000 people to find out what kind of meals they already had? He could have instantly prepared a banquet for everybody and provided an instantaneous miracle. Why did he say, go out and find what you can find among the people? See, here's the important truth that we need to understand as Jesus is making that statement. The very important truth that we need to underscore here is when God wants to do a miracle in your life, he always starts with what you've got. An important principle for us to understand. When God wants to do a miracle in my life or in your life, he always starts with what I have, not with what I don't have. An important principle to remember. The third principle, life principle that we have here, is that we need to be people who practice this giving and releasing. It's very interesting to me. As you go to the book of John, you discover that there was a little boy who was in the crowd. John describes the situation with the little boy in this group of people. It's found in John chapter 6, verse 9 and verse 11. Notice what it says. Then Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks to God, and distributed them among the people. Afterward, he did the same thing with the fish, and they all ate as much as they wanted. This little boy in the group of 5,000 people is the only one who brought a sack lunch. He's the only one, in my opinion, who actually, perhaps his mother did, who actually thought ahead and said, man, if my boy is going to be with Jesus all day, maybe we should pack a lunch. And so this boy, among the group of people, gives it to Jesus as the disciples is going through this huge crowd of people. They only find the 5 fishes, 2 loaves of bread, and what does this little boy do? He gives it to Jesus. He gives what he has to Jesus, and God is able to do a miracle. God starts with what you've got. Now, the question you may ask, why is this story in the Bible? Or what can we learn from this story? And particularly, this third principle is of utmost importance for us to understand. Because the way this boy gave his lunch to Jesus illustrates several principles that are important for us to understand as we life. This type of giving sparks God's activity in your life. There's a type of giving, whether it's your time or whether it's your money or whether it's the effort you put forth or whether it's your energy or reputation. When you learn to give unreservedly, you open yourself up to all kinds of miracles that God can do through you and in your life. So giving sparks a miracle. But you've got to, in the process of giving, be a person who is willing to release. There has to be this attitude in your life that if you are going to receive this incredible blessing of God, of God working his miracles out in your life, you have to have this attitude of release. What am I talking about? I'm talking about that we should be people who never underestimate what God can do through ordinary people. And even the limited resources that we may have, when it's given to God, God can do exponential things through them. Here, just this little kid with a simple lunch, and he gives it to Jesus, and 5,000 people are blessed from it. Never underestimate, church. Never underestimate what God can do through ordinary people, even though you may think you have limited resources. When they are given to God, don't ever underestimate what can happen. Well, people often, I hear this often from people, I don't have much to offer God. My time is limited. I don't have any talent. I don't have much money or other resources. Can I just share with you and tell you that whatever it is, when you are compelled to live for Christ and release it to Christ, give what you have to God, and in your heart begin to see what God can do with the resources you have, with the talents that you have, and watch him multiply it. That's the principle that we are seeing here. God uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things when they sacrifice to the Lord. You see, it's not your ability that counts. It's not the grandness of whatever you have that you bring to the table for God. No. It's always your availability. It's not your ability, but it's your availability. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 12. Look what the Bible says. Whatever you give is acceptable if you give it eagerly. And give according to what you have, not what you don't have. I hope that makes sense to you and God's word speaks into your heart and life. God doesn't expect you to give talent that you don't have or time that you don't have or energy that you don't have. But he does expect you to give what you've got. And when you lay it before him, he takes it and he breaks it and he blesses it and he multiplies it, just like he did little boy's lunch. Secondly, if you want a miracle in your life, not only must you give what you have, but you've got to be a person of faith. What sparks a miracle in your life? You've got to have faith. This little boy didn't hold anything back from God. He gave all he had, all 5 loaves, all 2 fish. And I've often wondered to myself, if I was that little boy, and Jesus asked me for my lunch, would I have given it? See, this little boy didn't say, time out, pause, I need to check out. I'm going to give 10% of the loaves. I'm going to give 10% of my fish. I'm going to divide all my fish up. And Jesus, you can only have this portion of it. No. He gave it all, unreservedly, in faith, expecting God to use it. He didn't hold anything back. Listen, if you want a miracle from God in your situation or in whatever position you find yourself in, and you feel that life is a burden right now and things are short in your life, you can't hold anything from God. Look what Luke chapter 6, verse 38 says. It says, give and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, running over and poured out into your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back. This is a powerful principle of life. Whatever measure you use to give out is the measure you're going to get back. You get out of life what you put into life. And it's the same measure. If you give a lot in life, you're going to get a lot out of life. If you give a little in life, you're going to get a little in life. rather than being a taker, I believe the Bible is saying to us, rather than being a taker, it's saying the key to have greatness and to receive the miracles that we need in our lives, we need to be people who release greatly. You release and God blesses you back. But here's another principle or attitude that sparks a miracle in your life when you give and release. And that is to be a person who does it cheerfully. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7 through verse 8 says these words. Don't give reluctantly. You must decide in your heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. For God loves a person who gives cheerfully. Now, if you look up that word cheerfully, it is the Greek word hilaros. That's where we get hilarity from or hilarious from. In other words, the Bible is describing God loves a person who gives hilariously. God will generously provide all you need when you have an attitude of hilariously, cheerfully giving to God's kingdom. And then notice the promise at the end of these verses. It says, then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. So what the Bible is describing for us here is don't give grudgingly, don't give under pressure, don't have the attitude of that way of a hoarding mentality, but give in such a way where you have a motive where it's not under pressure, but you simply do it without a grudging attitude where you hilariously or cheerfully give what you have to God. When I read that verse, to me, that's an incredible verse because it describes for me how limitless the blessings of God can be in my life. See, the promise is given to us here that God will take care of me. He says, I will make sure all of your needs are met. I promise that I will meet all of your needs if you are a hilarious or cheerful giver. Friends of mine, that is an incredible promise. It is a fantastic promise. Releasing is not a debt that I owe. Releasing what I have is a seed that I sow. And the boy in this story released his lunch. He sowed a seed and he witnessed an incredible return of his faith. Listen, farmers resent. Okay, farmers resent having to buy new tractors. Farmers resent having to spend money to repair equipment and having to spend money on hiring labor or buying insurance or installing irrigation systems and then having trucks haul all of their produce to market. It's a very expensive proposition. But I've never met a farmer who resented planting seed or releasing seed. Well, why do you think that is? Because of all the things I just mentioned, the expenses that a farmer has, the trucking, the repair of equipment, the mortgages on the farm and all the stuff that they own, the water, the insurance, the labor, you name it. But when you take away the seed, you're not just having an expense. That seed is an investment. And every single farmer knows that if I don't plant seeds, then I don't have a crop and I don't have a harvest. See, the point is this. When you have a need, plant a seed and God will provide and you will have plenty left over. And here's the fourth principle. Here's the fourth principle you need to understand that is incredibly important as we engage a miracle or you see miracles happen in your life. The last principle is this. Expect God to multiply. These four principles, if you grasp them, if you take a hold of them, if you allow them to sink into your heart, friends, they will change your life. And no matter what shortage you may think you're going through or you come against in life, listen, You need to expect God to multiply. You remember Jesus told these disciples when they came to him and said, Lord, there's 5,000 hungry people. What are we going to do? And Jesus looked at them. Remember what he said? You go feed them. You guys feed them. You know what Jesus is asking? He's asking the impossible. You give them something to eat, is what Jesus is saying. You disciples, you give them something to eat. And what he's asking is physically impossible. It was materially impossible. It was financially impossible. The logistics were impossible. How could he be asking these disciples to do the impossible? Do you know that God often asks us to do the impossible? And what Jesus is doing here is he's testing his disciples. Jesus knew what he was going to do. He knew how the answer was going to unfold and how the answer was going to be supplied. He was testing his disciples by saying to them, you do it. You do what you can do with what you have, and then I will step in and make it work. That's an incredible principle of life. You do what you can with what you have and trust God to do the rest. That's how miracles happen. This is true in your life. You say, I don't know how I'm going to make it. I don't know how I'm going to make it through this situation. I don't know how I'm going to balance out my accounts. I don't know how I'm going to place the order in time to get everything done in an expedient time. I don't know how this is going to work. I don't know how I'm going to get out of debt. I don't know how I'm going to find the time to get everything done that is required of me. Listen, Jesus already has in mind what he's going to do in your life. And Jesus is testing you during the times when you feel you are short and when you feel you're up against the wall and when you feel you are walking in darkness. He is testing you to see what you are going to give to him in the midst of that situation. And if you give the situation to him, he will multiply blessings in your life. Notice what it says in verse 42 and in verse 43. Of Mark chapter 6. And they all ate as much as they wanted. And afterward, the disciples picked up 12 baskets of leftover bread and fish, and a total of 5,000 men and their families were fed. The little boy gave what he had cheerfully and in faith to Jesus, and notice what happened. Everyone ate and had enough. And afterwards, they collected 12 baskets of leftovers. Not only did Jesus multiply what was given to him, he took it, he broke it, he blessed it, he multiplied it, and everybody was stuffed. They had more than they could want. They had all wanted to eat, and then there were 12 baskets that were left over. That's the law of multiplication. I did a little research this past week on the principle of multiplication. And friends, this is a universal law. It applies to agriculture as well as to our spiritual life. Did you know that when you plant 2 bushels of wheat, you can expect 67 bushels in return of wheat back? When you plant 2, you get 67. That's the law that God has established. And it's true in your spiritual life as well as it is in agriculture. When you plant 3 bushels of oats, you can expect 79 bushels of oats back in return. And this is just an average harvest. If you plant 7.5 pounds of corn, you can expect 120 bushels of corn in harvest. You always reap back more than what you sow. That's the principle of multiplication. Now let's think about that for a moment. You can understand that principle or think about that principle or even believe that principle, or you could follow that principle. You could listen to the principle, ignore the principle, or follow the principle. But let me tell you this, friends. In every area of your life, the principle of multiplication works. Any time that you give of yourself, and when you have faith, and you release it with a cheerful attitude to God, you will always end up getting more back from Him than what you gave. Now, let me get really practical here as I close. Anytime you have any kind of shortage in your life, I'm asking you to take these four steps. That's why God tells this story four times in the Bible. In all Gospels, you read this story four times. Do you know why God says it four times in every one of the Gospels? It's because God doesn't want you to miss the important truth of this principle. Here's what you do when you feel overwhelmed and when you need a miracle in your life, when you feel that life is cutting short on you. Accept responsibility. Don't procrastinate. Don't pass the buck. Don't worry. Just simply say, Lord, I take responsibility perhaps for my poor management of my time. I took too much on. Here are my finances. I've been spending too much. I haven't managed my life wisely. Accept responsibility. Secondly, evaluate. Get a clear picture of what is going on in your life. What is your situation life? Where are you? What are you doing? On the spiritual things, sit down and write down some things where you think you are needing to evaluate issues in your life. If you're having struggles in your finances, look at your assets, look at your liabilities, write them down, plan a budget, list things out. Sometimes the most spiritual thing that you can do is to go home and plan a budget so that you don't walk in financial shortness. Thirdly, put God first. Give and release. You say, you don't understand. I've heard this from people. You say, I can't afford to tithe. Listen to me in all sincerity. As your pastor, I'm telling you this in love. Let me tell you, you cannot afford to cut short on what God is doing in your life, in your finances. There are laws in place. There are universal laws in place. Just like God set up gravity, He set up financial laws in place and blessing laws in place, multiplication laws in place on your finances. Whatever you do, do not withhold, because God cannot bless of that which you withhold. And lastly, expect God to multiply. Expect Him to do some exceedingly abundantly, magnificently powerful things in your life. Can I share one last verse with you? It's found in Mark chapter 10, verse 27. Look what the Bible says, and I close with this. Jesus looked at them intently and said, "Humanly speaking, it is impossible, but not with God. Everything is possible with God." Do you notice what this verse says? This verse doesn't say most things are possible with God. It says everything, all things are possible with God. Now, you may say in response to this, well, you don't know, Pastor. You don't know my financial situation. Listen, everything is possible with God. You don't know the load, Pastor, of what I am carrying. You don't know how backed up I am at work. You don't know the pressure that I am feeling in my workplace. Listen. Everything is possible. You don't know the mountain that I am facing in life. You don't know how difficult my situation is right now. Listen again. Everything is possible with God. Can I tell you that God specializes in the impossible? My question is, are you going to accept responsibility? Are you going to take some time to evaluate your life? Are you going to put God first and give and release to the Lord? And are you going to be a person who focuses every single day that you are alive on expecting God to multiply because your attitude is right and you want God to spark a miracle in your life? Follow these principles and let's see together what God, magnificent God, will do in your life. What magnificent things God will pull off in your life. Can you believe with me for a miracle today in your life? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, today we come to you and I ask you for every person who is watching and listening to this service today, whatever their situation is, oh God, let us not be people who make excuses. Let us not be people who look on the negative things of the side of things in life, but let us be people, oh God, who look to you and proclaim that all things are possible. Everything is possible through the powerful God that we serve. God, whatever situation people are facing right now, whatever that circumstance may be, Lord, I ask that you would intervene and do an incredible miracle. As people are calling on your name right now, as they are looking to you, as they are up against horrendous situations perhaps in their life, whether physically, emotionally, mentally, financially, in the job market, God, whatever that is, Lord, I pray that as they look to you, as they call out to you, may they do so with faith, believing expectantly for an incredible intervention that you can bring into the situation. We need you, God. Every single day of our life, we need you. And we ask you, God, to perform daily miracles for us, for your honor and your glory and our benefit through your blessings. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, before we go this morning, I have to announce to you as a church family that I have some very sad news. And the sad news is this, that James and Kirsten, our worship arts pastor, are leaving us in the month of August. In fact, their last Sunday will be with us on August the 16th. They are moving to Edmonton, and they are moving there because Kirsten is in her internship year as part of her PhD program. And so James is relinquishing his responsibilities here as they move to Edmonton. However, he's also going to still participate in doing a lot of the behind-the-scenes technical things that our worship team and worship arts program needs. And so he will still be participating, but from a distance. And so we bid them Godspeed. They have been such a blessing to us here and have done such a tremendous, tremendous job. We're going to miss them in a physical sense here, but hopefully in the future they can join us again. That's my prayer anyway. But anyway, we say Godspeed to them, God blessing upon them, and their last Sunday again will be August the 16th when James will be ministering to us on that Sunday. Have a great week, friends. God bless you. So good that you could join us. And we appreciate your faithfulness in giving. Have a great week. Amen.